Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Like so many of you, we battle depression during life's many ups and downs.
Music has always been there to help us through the tough times that we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music.
Interview artists and bands.
Break down genres and music news.
Review artist biographies.
And much, much more.
You're listening to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast.
Hey, it's the Muppet Man, J.A.C., and welcome back to the When Words Fail Music Speaks Podcast, where you fight depression with the power of music. I am your professional head coach host, James Cox.
And I'm commonly referred to as the loudest guy in the room, and now confirmed not the loudest guy in the room, actually, because my microphone works properly, because I'm not a dum-dum. But only when I'm playing the drums. That's it. That's the only time. I'm your endless source of useless music knowledge, Blake Mosley, a.k.a. Brosley, a.k.a. Emo Bemo.
And then there's me, Amanda Dolan. I may not know the name of the song, the artist, or the album like the others here, but chances are I will sing along loudly, proudly, and poorly. Just ask my kids. They'll also tell you that I'm not a regular mom. I am a almost toothless mom.
Almost.
Because they kind of shoved it back in there for temporary purposes.
Oh, the teeth. Okay, so.
Yeah.
All right. So you gotta explain the tooth.
Okay, yeah.
Please, because some people are like, what the heck is going on here?
So this actually started back in 1991. When I was in middle school playing basketball and I ran into Claire Latta's head and I knocked
typical
my front
Claire, fork. Right? I mean, come
exactly.
On. Freaking Claire.
She's got some nerve.
I know.
Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure I gave her a concussion. So, you know, fair. I knocked my four front teeth. I didn't knock them out. I actually broke part of my jawbone and those teeth were pushed back. And so over the last 30 whatever years, I've had some issues and I'd had root canals done and all of that and crowns. And then over the weekend, one of my front teeth just decided I'm going to break in half.
Ugh,
so went to the dentist this morning. They were able to temporarily cement the crown that was attached to that tooth that broke back. And then next week, I get to go and have that tooth pulled and an implant put in. And yeah. I don't know if you know this, but once you get an implant put in, it takes another 6 to 8 months or so for that to heal before you get the permanent. So I'm missing sort of a tooth. And then I'm going to, it'll be fun. It'll be an adventure.
Hey, listen, I sympathize for those with the teeth issues. My wife, Allie, has some teeth issues quite a bit. She has osteogenesis imperfecta or brittle bone disease. So chipping teeth is very – her and her brother have it. And so chipping teeth is pretty common. Like one time she was eating a Rice Krispie treat and chipped a tooth. And I was like, whoa, this is intense. So she's been through the ringer with that. And then here comes me and like – I just get like a bunch of cavities all the time, but I'm not out here like losing my teeth. So I really feel bad for all that. All
yeah.
of you.
It's not fun. And it is part of life, I guess. And honestly, if it wasn't like my front tooth,
yeah,
I wouldn't have like been so like I canceled clients. I rarely cancel clients. I rarely do that sort of thing. And I think everyone though can understand like, hey, my front tooth broke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I need
to
go get that fixed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and like I said earlier, it's like before we got on here, I was like, dude, teeth stuff like freaks me out. Like scares me to death. Eyeballs, Achilles, heels, eyeballs. It's all like painful. Like stuff with eyeballs, just it's like, ah.
Okay. Dying. So when my sister and I were going through my mom's things, she had apparently saved all of our teeth that we lost as children. And nothing quite like going through like
scary.
The jewelry box and being like, oh my God, those teeth. Are teeth. That's not weird at all.
Those might be my teeth.
Dude, have you ever seen like the diagram of like what baby's teeth looks like before they like push out? Have you ever seen that?
Well, I've seen x-rays of my children, you know, growing up before they've lost. It's kind of creepy.
It is scary because it's like two rows of teeth that haven't like come out and they're just lapped on top of each other. Oh, it makes my skin crawl. It is the weirdest thing to look at. Like, it's terrifying. It looks like they look like the xenomorph alien from the Alien movies.
And yet, like, we all need our teeth and go to the dentist. I hate the dentist, but go get them cleaned and
So let me ask you this, Amanda. You said it would just happen to fall out, right? So were you doing anything prior to it? Like, you know, I mean, like,
I mean, I was
or something hard, or did you fall on it?
Okay, so it felt like I had something stuck in between my two teeth right there, and I went and I flossed, and when I flossed, it popped right out.
Gosh, see, that freaks me out too.
It was gonna happen. Like, when I talked to the dentist, she was like, it was just a matter of time. And she looked at the other ones that have had a similar treatment done. I have one implant already, and then three of them were
I bet crowns. I got you both beat. I've had one baby tooth my whole 45 years now.
Really? You never lost a baby tooth?
It just will not fall out. It's over here somewhere.
Do you need help?
No.
More knuckle sandwich?
Knowing you, you're probably in a high-powered car.
Yeah, I can help you with that.
Loop it on like a string and just pull that bad boy out.
They call me the tooth fairy.
Yeah.
Okay. Tying around a tooth and the door. Like, I've done that with one of my kids.
So Blake would buy like a Lamborghini and just. Nerf gun, man.
Nope, Nerf gun. That's the way to do it.
How does that work?
Nerf gun. You tie the string to the tooth. Tie the string to the Nerf bullet.
Yeah, the Nerf pellet.
Pow! And then shoot it, and then tooth comes flying out.
Wow.
So, back to your punching. Last night I was having like, I won't even lie, I was having like a full on like mental breakdown. It was just crying. It was just, it had been a night. And when I say crying, I mean like doing the, you know, like that level. And I told my friend, my best friend was like, so are you feeling better? And I was like, I am, but I still feel like punching someone. And she was like, go find someone to punch. And I'm like, I mean, I'm already down one tooth and going to the dentist in the morning anyway. Like, now's the time to like get in a fight.
And she was right there. So,
although the reality is I don't think I would be a very good fighter because
I'm not.
I'm not gonna say I'm too nice. It's just that like, I don't want to hurt my hands.
Yeah, that's what it is. Look, my hands are delicate, and I don't want to hurt my hands. So, in order to keep my hands safe, I'm going to refrain from punching my fists against your face.
But I do have a Louisville Slugger because I grew up in Louisville, in my garage. So maybe that's just what I'd do instead. Just pick that up and
take a Louisville Slugger to both headlights. Just not yours. Someone else's.
Yeah. What about like, did you carve your name?
Once or twice.
What about the, like in the leather seats?
leather seat, carved my name into the leather seats. I dug, or I took a Louisville Slugger to both headlights.
That's right.
And
took a Louisville Slugger.
What is it? What's the rest of it?
Carved.
Leather seats, Louisville Slugger to both headlights. Something in all four tires. It's all right. Something in all four tires.
took a
man, that would have been a good. That would have been a great transition into a Carrie Underwood episode.
It really would have been.
But unfortunately,
that's not what we're talking about.
Jeez Louise. Well,
but
maybe next
time. We are
time.
Talking about some people that are as big as Carrie Underwood that came together to create
magic.
I'm trying here,
I'm
y'all.
I'm sure at some point these guys have gotten in fights with their previous band members and probably knocked each other's teeth out and then started these new bands.
With
right.
Louisville Sluggers.
With Louisville Sluggers, exactly right. It could be. Very well could be. Some of the people we're going to talk about, I'm pretty sure there was some fist fights. Not confirmed, just pretty sure. Yeah. So I looked it up. I was like, surely we've done a few supergroup episodes
now. We've done one of them.
Just
way
one.
Back when. Yep.
Just
back
one. When. It was our seventh episode back
in. Oh my
in
gosh.
2020. 5 years ago. It was over 5 years ago. We did this, the only supergroup episode we ever did. Now, we've talked about other supergroups as time has gone on, but like we haven't dedicated an episode. So I chose like two current ones that's happening right now that I know we didn't cover back then. And then one that I went back and looked and made sure and we did not cover back then too. It was like a classic supergroup. So pretty exciting stuff. I love a supergroup. I love to figure out that all these bands decided to come together to form a new band and just kind of see what the outcome is. These guys are really solid, all the ones that I've picked for this episode. You guys ready? You want to jump on
in? Let's do it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to talk about three groups today. Our first one we're going to get into, LS Dunes, a really cool supergroup that is currently out there, really making a name for themselves. Pretty exciting. LS Dunes is an American rock supergroup fronted by Circa Survive, Seosin, and the Sound of Animals Fighting vocalist Anthony Green, with My Chemical Romance guitarist Frank Iero, Coheed and Cambria guitarist Travis Stever, bassist Tim Payne, and drummer Tucker Rule from the band Thursday. They made their live debut at Riot Fest 2022 and released their debut album, Past Lives, on November 11th, 2022, preceded by the singles Permanent Rebellion 2022 and Bomb Squad. The band played their first UK tour in January of 2023 and their first US tour in July of 2023. So right off the bat, you probably picked up on some pretty big emo names from some bands that was thrown out there. Circa Survive and Seosin in particular, with Anthony Green being the vocalist of both of those groups. Seosin was a big part of my emo adolescence. I loved Seosin.
I thought you were gonna be like my emo phase. I was gonna be like,
I'm still
phase?
There. He's still my emo day. Adolescence. Yeah. Yes. Seosin was a big part of that because I know I love their drummer and they had a very unique sound and they were different. Anthony Green was only on like the first EP, so it was only like four songs that he did with them, and then he quit and he started Circa Survive, and then they just blew up. Also, Seosin moved on with a new singer, they got even bigger, and the cool part was that they continued to like tour together and they stayed friends for the most part. And then at one point, the second singer left Seosin. Anthony Green went back to Seosin, dropped an album with him, and then said, deuces, I'm out again. Went back to Circa Survive, did another side project. Now he's doing LS Dunes. It's been a lot of like back and forth. But he's got a very unique voice. You know, I'm a sucker for a unique singer. It's very, very high-pitched, but he's got a great vocal range. And it's very unique. And then you've got one of the guitarists from My Chemical Romance. Of course, that's such a big deal. You've got the other guy from Coheed and Cambria that can just shred on guitar. And then the drummer from Thursday. Thursday was a big part of my emo adolescence as well. So it was really cool to watch these guys come together and then start putting out music that was just amazing. The band formed during the COVID-19 pandemic as vocalist Anthony Green, as I mentioned before, from Circus Survive, Seosin, the Sound of Animals Fighting, was looking for people to make music with. Originating from rehearsals for Thursday's 2020 holiday live stream, the project started with the working title Dad Pods.
I love that.
Yeah. The other LS Dune members individually recorded their parts for their debut album, Past Lives, before landing on a vocalist. And Thursday drummer Tucker Rule sent Green instrumental tracks, not initially revealing the group's lineup. That's cool. So he was like all for it before he even knew like who all was involved. So word of the group first emerged when they appeared on the poster for Riot Fest in May of 2022. My Chemical Romance guitarist Frank Iero unveiled the band with guitarist Travis Stever of Coheed and Cambria and Thursday's bassist Tim Payne. Coinciding with their unveiling, LS Dunes released their debut single, Permanent Rebellion, which is just chef's kiss, perfect track. Yes. And what a like debut single for this group. The first single from Past Lives. It was released via Fantasy Records on August 26th with a music video and drew praise from several music outlets. Sorry. My cursor was covering the word outlet, so I read it as outfits. Dumb idiot sandwich.
Well, they
can
have good great outfits. You know?
I mean, outlets and outfit, like, they sometimes are interchangeable. No, it does.
I'm so embarrassed. So the group announced a series of North American tours, tour dates from September 16th to November 30th. LS Dunes made their live debut at day one of Riot Fest in 2022 at Douglas Park, Chicago, Illinois, on September 16th, where My Chemical Romance also happened to be headlining, oddly enough, playing six songs from Past Lives. After debuting the song at Riot Fest, they released the opening track of Past Lives, entitled 2022, as their second single. The song was released alongside a psychedelic video, so you know, psychedelic, man. There you go.
It must be.
In May of 2024, the band confirmed that a second full-length album has been recorded. On September 20th, the band released the single "Fatal Deluxe," and their second album, "Violet," was released on January 31st, 2025. They're doing great. They're touring all over the place. They're picking up a lot of fans. But how could you not with that lineup?
Yeah.
So pretty cool. I have not seen them live yet. I'd love to because there's so many. Oddly enough, of all the bands that I have seen live at different festivals and things like that, I have not seen any of the bands that I mentioned in there, not a single one. So it would be cool to see LS Dunes because I could be like, hey, I haven't seen these bands, but I've seen this one. Pretty neat.
Right. And I had a whole.
Oh. Yeah.
No, go ahead.
So my ADHD brain did like this whole thing where I went, sorry, y'all, it's weird. I went, Dave Grohl, you know, created kind of a super band, maybe.
Sure.
Is that?
Yeah.
And then it made me think, then I saw Violet, and then that was, you know, his daughter's name.
Grohl. Yeah.
And then at that, I'm not going to get it right, but the concert that was done a few months ago, she sang Nirvana, and it was
fantastic. It really was. It truly was.
Sorry, so that's the way my ADHD brain just went as I like, I got to fires.
Well, I'll throw another one at you. Did you know that Kurt Cobain's daughter, Frances Bean, is married to Tony Hawk's son?
I did.
So Tony Hawk and Kurt Cobain share a grandchild. Pretty cool.
Yes, I thought that they, and that makes me feel really old because, like, in my brain, Frances Bean is like young because she was a little baby.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess we have to remember that. Interesting fun fact over here. I am in the process of reading this, which is Kurt Cobain's journals.
Whoa,
seriously? That's
like
wild.
And it's his like,
is that good?
Wow.
Like his handwriting. So yeah, my best friend,
that's cool,
sent this to me
because I really really thought about getting that. So like,
that's cool.
It's like, so, and it's interesting because like you see like the beginnings of some songs that you recognize in there, and but Yeah. Like, and then I also think of like Tony Hawk is also like not old enough to be a grandfather.
No, he doesn't.
And like Eminem, not old enough to be a grandfather.
I know Eminem's a grandfather now. That
Maybe
is so
we should
wild.
Do it like an episode yeah. of like random like musicians, artists that we don't feel are old enough to be grandparents.
So crazy. We can totally do that.
That means Courtney Love is a grandma.
Courtney Love, unfortunately, is a grandmother.
Has she gotten her odd. Stuff together?
I think she's okay now, but you know, I will say, I read, what was the book? It was called Love and Death, and it was about Kurt Cobain's death and the conspiracy behind it being a murder, right?
Conspiracy?
Right, exactly.
So, I don't know that that's a conspiracy.
I know. I read it and I was like, wow, this is wild. There's a lot of stuff that doesn't add up. Actually, I had a really cool English teacher. I went to a very strict Christian school, but I had a really cool, very lenient English teacher. And I told her, I was like, I want to do a book report on this book. The subject matter, it may not be allowed, but just I wanted to ask just in case because it's a book I picked up and I wanted to read it. And she was like, actually, it fits all the criteria, so go for it. And she was like, absolutely. And I got a pretty good grade on that one because it was interesting.
And I think that's about so much of life is when you do something that's interesting to you and that you're excited about.
Yeah.
Even like bands that they leave, not even leave their band, but or whatever, mm-hmm. they go and work with other people. It can be really awesome. Because it's truly what they want to do. Like they have made this decision to work with other people or, you know, create something that maybe is the same or maybe different.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes, like there's something to be said for super bands and finding new ways of expressing themselves and new fans.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, this next group we're going to talk about definitely took off pretty quick once they announced that they were getting together. And actually, in our last
episode, I don't know about getting together because it's like the old band.
It's a result of a breakup. Right. Yeah. It's a result of a pretty nasty breakup. And one day I would love to talk about the history of Every Time I Die because they had such a complex history in their run. But actually, in our last episode, when we talked about bands that have been banned by Disney from playing at the House of Blues locations, we mentioned both of the bands where these bands split and formed this new band. So, but Better Lovers,
so they both got,
it's assumed that maybe Better Lovers is probably banned from House of Blues as well. Better Lovers is an American hardcore punk band from Buffalo, New York, formed in 2023 after the dissolution of Every Time I Die, RIP. The group consists. I love that band so much. I really hate that they broke up. I can't stress enough how sad I am that Every Time I Die broke up. They put out a banger of an album in 2021, and then like 3 weeks later, they're like, "All right, we're breaking up." I was like, okay, cool." The group consists of vocalist Greg Puciato, guitarist Jordan Buckley and Will Putney, bassist Stephen Mashishi. And drummer Clayton Holyoke, also known as Goose on the Instagram. That's what everybody calls him. That's what his Instagram handle is. Been following him for years. The band is signed to Sharp Tone Records and have released one album, one EP, and two singles. Often labeled as a supergroup, the band features members formerly of Every Time I Die, which would be Buckley, Mashishi, and Holyoke. All three of them. Sure. And then the Dillinger Escape Plan, which features vocalist Puciato. They're still together, though. That band's still together. As well as current member of Fit for an Autopsy, which would be Putney. Okay.
That is quite the band name right there.
Fit for an Autopsy. Dude, they're good. They're good. They're super good. I like them a lot.
I can't remember if they're borderline death metal.
They're like a deathcore kind of thing. All right, I forgot. I can't believe. Yes. I cannot believe I did not throw this band in here. All right, there is a super group that we're not going to talk about today. One day we'll cover them. We'll have to do a whole episode because it's a very interesting history of them as well. Mm-hmm. But there is a boy band deathcore super group that features five vocalists from various deathcore bands. And it's like it's the funniest thing. I don't know if you guys are aware of the band Lorna Shore. Have you ever y'all ever heard of them?
Sounds familiar, but
they got really popular on like TikTok a couple of years ago because they have a song called "To the Hellfire," where it has a really like intense outro where the guy does a lot of like pig squealing, and like it went viral for people watching it and then reacting to it, and like people being like genuinely impressed or horrified right,
or anyway, disgusted,
that right? Guy the singer for Fit for an Autopsy and then the singer from a couple of other bands, they came together to form a boy band of deathcore vocalists, and I can't remember the name of them right now. We'll do an episode on them because it's a weird history too, but anyway, fun fact. All right,
try to find it.
Yeah, do that. So Jordan Buckley, Stephen Mikishi, and Clayton Goose Holyoke were once part of the metalcore band Every Time I Die, RIP, man, alongside Andy Williams. You know exactly what I'm talking about, James, because he's a wrestler now.
Right.
And Jordan Buckley's brother, Keith Buckley, who was the vocalist. In December of 2021, Keith took a hiatus from the band, citing mental health concerns. But later accused his brother Jordan and bandmates of ostracizing him from the band. Whoops. Every Time I Die issued a statement saying that they were working on things privately and would go on to play one last show on December 11th. I think that was part of they used to do like an annual Christmas, like hold a Christmas concert. I'm pretty sure that's what it was, their last show together. But January 18th, 2022, Jordan Buckley, Williams, Mikishi, and Holyoke released a statement saying they were no longer performing as Every Time I Die due to inabilities to directly communicate with Keith or reach an agreement to continue as a band, effectively breaking up the band after 24 years. The next day, Keith revealed that he had been issued a cease and desist on December 20th. I hate hearing about stuff like that. On December 20th, the week following the band's final show, ordering him to stop using the band's name and likeness. Woo! It's messy whenever there's like legal action taken against you. It's just sad. It's real sad. Despite the breakup and public coverage, Jordan Buckley, Williams, Mikishi, and Holyoke would continue to practice together with intentions to start a new band under a different name. Then in November of 2022, Buckley would post video clips to his social media of him working on new material with Mikishi, Holyoke, and producer Will Putney, as we mentioned, from Fit for an Autopsy, at his studio in New Jersey. Putney had produced Every Time I Die's last two albums, Low Teens and Radical, but then guitarist Andy Williams was not present in these sessions, having fully committed to a career in professional wrestling with All Elite Wrestling, known as The Butcher. And bassist Mikishi, he's a big dude too. He's a large man. And bassist Mikishi, he is a big dude. And bassist Mikishi would later confirm that Williams was not involved with their initial recording. So they're still good, like they're fine. It's just Jordan and Keith Buckley absolutely hate each other's guts. Really sad. Brothers, watching brothers who have done something so great for so long, just absolutely throw it all away.
So anyway, other super group that you were talking about is originally was the Big Six, later renamed Project Vengeance.
That's
Big
it.
Six.
Yeah.
And it has Ramos.
Yep.
And then Left to Suffer's Taylor Barber.
Uh-huh.
Infant Annihilator's Dickie Allen.
Uh-huh.
Bites, Darius Tirani,
sure.
And Traitors, Tyler Shelton.
Tyler Shelton, man. Yeah. Tyler Shelton is one of the funniest human beings in the history of the world. We did a Cover Wars years ago where we actually pitted Traitors cover of 5 Minutes Alone by Pantera with Nonpoint's cover of 5 Minutes Alone. I think we even brought that up
to Elias
whenever we had him on the show. Yeah. And I think I told him, I was like, I'm really sorry. I went with Traitors on my.
But I was like, that's fine. It was okay. You know?
Pretty funny. Traitors is great. They're a great band. And then April 17th, 2023, Buckley, Mikishi, and Holyoke officially announced the formation of Better Lovers with their first single, 30 Under 13, released through Sharptone Records. The band revealed that Putney was officially a member of the group as a guitarist, and they were joined by vocalist Greg Puciato, formerly of the metalcore band The Dillinger Escape Plan. Puciato had been working with heavy metal supergroup Killer Be Killed, electronic supergroup The Black Queen, and also as a solo artist prior to joining the band. When talking about whether Better Lovers was a supergroup, bassist Steve Mikishi said, quote, "We don't look at it that way. While it's impossible to acknowledge, not to acknowledge the past bands that we were in that we're proud of, this thing is its own thing, its own beast, and its own entity. We're not here for a cup of coffee. We still have something to say, and that's a thing that doesn't just go away, and it's very important to all of us," unquote. So maybe they don't like the term supergroup. So sorry.
Maybe not.
Whoa, who cares? You're a supergroup. On July 30th, 2024, Better Lovers announced their debut studio album, Highly Irresponsible, set for release on October 25th through Sharptone. In an email sent to mailing list subscribers, the band said, quote, "We put a lot of energy into this one and love every second of it. A record so purely and selfishly for us. Gave birth to some real magic translating through the speakers. Old habits and new tricks. Insanity and restraint. Beauty and chaos. Art as it is intended. Unquote. The lead single, A White Horse Covered in Blood, hell yeah, sounds metal, was released the next day alongside its music with its music video. Three more singles followed over the coming months, included Future Myopia on August 28th, At All Times on September 25th, and Love as an Act of Rebellion on October 22nd. So Highly Irresponsible was released on October 25th, 2024. The record will be supported with a North American tour with Full of Hell, Gouge Away, Cloakroom, and Spy during the fall of 2024. That already happened. The band's second annual Blissmas Festival in Buffalo is in December. And then a United Kingdom tour with Frontier and Greyhaven in January 2025. So the Blissmas Festival thing, that is what kind of like what I talked about before. Every Time I Die used to hold a annual Christmas show, and it was called, all right, so their abbreviation, ETID, E-T-I-D. So it was called TID the Season. So it was a thing.
I love that.
Right. Got it. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So they did that for years. And I'm assuming that's what their last show was. Now they've, since it's like 3/5 of the members Every Time I Die, I'm sure they were like, yeah, let's keep doing the festival thing at Christmas. So yeah.
I think it's awesome. Yeah. So I'm, you know what that newsletter said made me think. I wonder if when you get artists that have like, you know, done the other band, they come together kind of after they've already become famous, they've already, you know, cut their teeth, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Since we were talking about teeth earlier.
I had to bring back teeth, right.
Yeah. Yep. If when they come together, they have left some of their egos at the door because they know, like, that they are good on their own or separate from this.
Yeah.
And it allows them to create more something more maybe authentic or, you know, personal, or I don't know. I'm just, it makes me wonder like how that changes things if they're already, you know, have done the other thing and this is like a really intentional, we know what kind of music you create. I want to be part of something with you.
Yeah, I agree. And it's been interesting too. I didn't talk about another supergroup, but there was another supergroup that formed from the breakup of Every Time I Die. Keith Buckley actually went on to start a group of his own called Many Eyes, and it was, you know, featuring a couple of other guys who played with him, and they're great and they seem to be doing just fine and there's no ego issues. So I think what happened, and we'll get into this whenever one day we'll do an episode on Every Time I Die, but I think honestly what happened, there is no greater bond than like a brother and a brother, right? Like sibling, like love is a special thing. There's also like nothing like sibling rivalries and sibling
absolutely.
Like, and I think what happened with Every Time I Die between Jordan and Keith was years and years and years of it building and like never taking any rest, never breaking, never like taking a break from the group. They kept pushing through for 20 something years. And there was other super groups. I think we talked about the Damned Things, but like Keith Buckley started the Damned Things with two of the guys from Fall Out Boy and two of the guys from Anthrax. And it was just like, what? This is crazy. But that was it. Like, other than that, he was all for Every Time I Die, and they just cranked out music for 20 something years. And I think they just got to the point where they just hated each other so bad, like the Oasis brothers, and just couldn't do it anymore. And they, you know, everything just broke.
Speaking of Oasis, I don't think they're going to do the tour anymore.
Was a very short-lived thing, and honestly, I'm not
sure. Because they said they were coming back at the beginning of this year, and at the end of January, the month, they were like, no, we're not doing this anymore.
So God. Wow.
I mean, it is hard. Wait, do either of you all have siblings? I don't remember.
Yeah.
I got one sister.
I got two sisters.
I think too. There's something about a same sex, like same gendered,
right?
Yeah,
sibling that creates a different. Because I have a sister, I adore her; she's amazing. Don't get me wrong.
But
also like you're compared more to each other. I think.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the
like one was a guitar player, one was the lead singer, right?
Right.
Keith
was the singer. Yeah.
And then Noah was the guitarist, right?
Oh, you're talking about Oasis or Oasis. Yeah. Sorry. No, Noel Gallagher and Liam.
Yeah.
Gallagher.
Yeah.
Is that right? Okay.
Yeah, Liam. Yeah.
Okay. I have to look things up. So I think I may have told you this, but okay. So their first album is Definitely Maybe.
Yeah.
So with my son, I always will say like, it'll be, I love you. And then I love you more. And he'll look at me and I'll go, maybe. And I'll say, definitely.
Definitely maybe. You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You're going to be the one that saves me. Anyway. After we won't sing Wonderwall for you anymore. But no, sorry, that was just a moment of like weird parts of my worlds, you know, coming together. But yeah, it's one of my favorite things that we have the Definitely Maybe because and he has been writing maybe on his birthday for like the last 5 or 6 years, and I've written Definitely. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to pick our favorite ones and get. The plan is for me to get maybe tattooed on myself and him to get definitely.
I love that. That's so cool.
It's our thing.
It's a thing. You know? Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes, I love that. You know, and plus he doesn't turn 18 for like 2 years. I may just have to get a tattoo before that.
I mean, just buy a tattoo gun of your own. You can do it yourself.
Oh yeah. Cause that's totally. No,
totally okay,
no
right?
We can wait. We can wait. All right.
So this next one, this is definitely the last one we're going to talk about here. Definitely a classic. Definitely one that people know about. I'm just shocked we didn't talk about them on
another
episode.
I'm actually shocked that we only got one album from them.
I am too, and I'm a little, upset about it. This is a very
bitter.
I compare
them. A little
bit
better, yeah.
This is a like you guys have heard me talk about Blink and their many side projects and things like that. And one of the things that I always hated was like Blink, you know, had a side project called Boxcar Racer that was so amazing. That one album from Boxcar Racer was so dang good. I'll have to send y'all some songs from that. It is so good. And then never did a single thing with it after that. It was like a one and done, over with, and it was heartbreaking. And we talked about Boxcar Racer on our episode 5 years ago. That was one of the groups we talked about. But Temple of the Dog was another one that just dropped an album on us and just left out of nowhere. But, you know, I get it. Two of the biggest grunge bands in the world they had other commitments, I'm sure. So yeah. Temple of the Dog was an American rock. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
So I will tell you this. I wasn't looking for their album, you know, vinyl record.
Yeah.
But I saw at the corner of my the yellow spine on the yeah. album. And I'm like, mm-hmm. that's Temple of the Dog. I gotta yeah. get it. And so
gotta get it.
So yeah.
So good.
But their album is like, you know, very yeah. very noticeable because they have a bright yellow spine on it.
Right.
For anybody who wants to,
yeah,
you know, go out and sit in.
Should have picked it up on Record Store Day.
But I already had it.
I didn't even go out on Record Store Day. I was very really sad.
I never know.
I should have gone. Yeah. Dang. Now I have to wait till next year to go buy a record. How dare I?
Jeez. Yeah.
Because you certainly can't buy one any other day.
Any other day. Right. I only have to do it then.
Only one day a year. Right. Jesus.
So Temple of the Dog was an American rock band formed in Seattle, Washington in 1990. It was conceived by vocalist Chris Cornell of Soundgarden as a tribute to his friend, the late Andrew Wood, lead singer of the band's Malfunction, Mother Love Bone. The lineup included Stone Gossard on rhythm guitar. What a name. Jeff Ament on bass guitar, both ex-members of Mother Love Bone and future members of Pearl Jam. Mike McCready, who would later go on to join Pearl Jam as well, on lead guitar, and then Matt Cameron, who was both the drummer of Soundgarden and Pearl Jam, which I did not know that for a long time, but homeboy played in both bands at the same time.
He was busy.
Right. Yeah, he was busy.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude was in two of the biggest grunge bands in the entire world, so pretty phenomenal. Eddie Vedder appeared as a guest to provide some leads and backing vocals, and later became lead vocalist of Pearl Jam.
You can't understand him.
Do y'all remember Celebrity Deathmatch?
Yes.
There was an episode where they put Eddie Vedder and Scott Stapp against each other. The fight, it was so funny.
I can't remember who won.
I can't remember who won either. It was so long ago.
I think Scott
the audience won.
Yeah, we won. Yeah, we won. We were the winners in this one.
But that that was like claymation and whole. Yeah.
But I think Scott Stapp won that match decisively.
We'll have to look that up and see who it was that won. But it was so funny because they accused Scott Stapp of ripping off Eddie Vedder for such a long time. But like everybody did, right? Yeah. That's just what was.
It was the 90s, you know.
It was the 90s. Yeah. Everybody sang like that. So anyway, Pearl Jam's debut album, 10, was released 4 months after Temple of the Dog's only studio album. So the band released its only album, self-titled Temple of the Dog, in April 1991 through A&M Records. The recording sessions took place in November and December of 1990 at London Bridge Studio in Seattle, Washington, with the producer Rakesh Rick Parashar. Although earning praise from music critics at the time of its release, the album was not widely recognized, until 1992, when Vedder, Ament, Gossard, and McCready had their breakthrough with Pearl Jam, causing Temple of the Dog to sometimes be retroactively considered a supergroup. So interesting how that worked. Like, they were a band.
Could you call that a supergroup, or would you
exactly
would
so
you call
are they
Pearl Jam
right are they technically a supergroup if Pearl Jam hadn't been established yet?
Okay, so let me ask you all this. When did Soundgarden release their first CD? Do y'all know?
Let's look it up,
because here you said that Pearl Jam's debut released 1 month after Temple of the Dog, right?
So,
88.
But it looked like Pearl Jam released their first in 91, which was the same.
A month after Temple of the Dog.
Yeah.
So technically no. Is that right. how I'm reading
it's a,
it?
It's a yeah. weird, it's a weird, like, yeah. you know, are they a super group or are they not? Or was it just the band prior to the success
right. yeah.
of of Pearl Jam that because Soundgarden was around.
Yeah, that would be a good thing to say, is, you know,
But looking back on it, people always consider Temple of the Dog a supergroup because I think also there's a lot of people who never heard Hunger Strike until way after Pearl Jam was big, right? And then they were like, "Oh, this is Eddie Vedder and Chris Cornell. This is Eddie Vedder and Chris Cornell singing together on the same song. That's awesome,
right?
But and then it's an assumed supergroup, but I guess technically they weren't really a supergroup, but they always get lumped in that category.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, it makes sense because I mean, yeah, Chris Cornell, which really blew up with his voice, Vedder with his big band program. Right. So I mean, put those together and.
Yeah.
Got Temple of the Dog. So, yeah.
Right. And then Cameron, like I mentioned before, would later join Pearl Jam, serving as their drummer since 1998, following Soundgarden's initial breakup in 97, making the five members. So I was mistaken about that. He didn't join Pearl Jam until later.
Okay.
But Cameron would appear, serving as drummer in 1998, following their breakup, making the five members of Pearl Jam after that point identical to the members of the of Temple of the Dog, other than Chris Cornell himself.
So it's the same band.
So it's the same band. Yeah. So it's like an Ultra Bridge situation where it's like all the band members but a different singer, right?
So technically, would you call Ultra Bridge a supergroup?
See, that's the thing, too.
So
what do you consider a supergroup?
Because there are three members from Creed, but then you got Miles Kennedy, which came from...
Is it a super group if there's only one member that's different?
That's true, yeah.
I don't know.
Amanda, what are your thoughts right there? Would you consider that... Okay.
I know, is it a super group if it's... Like, because isn't that just a rebrand or a, you know... Because how many groups have, changed members and we don't...
Right, a lot, right, yeah. See, what I think a super group is one well-known person from... five individual groups come together and, hey, we're here now, you know.
That's usually what I consider it.
To me, that's a super group. So I don't know if it's kind of like a gray zone here, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I don't know. It's weird. It's a weird category because, I don't know if I would consider Alter Bridge a super group.
No?
What's really interesting... Oh, well, I guess let me get through this real quick. The band reformed and toured in 2016 to celebrate the 25th anniversary of their self-titled album, and it was the only tour that they ever undertook. So that was before Chris Cornell passed away, unfortunately, later on. But, okay, here's another thing I didn't include in this episode, and I would love to do as a separate episode one day when we come back to the subject of supergroups. There are some bands that are around now that did not start out as a supergroup, but the band is still around, but it is now technically a supergroup. Goldfinger being a great example of that. Goldfinger, you know, Superman, Tony Hawk, you know the deal.
Did you know, Blake, that Goldfinger's drummer was originally a death metal drummer?
Yeah, I'd heard that. The guy's incredible. Right.
Yeah, because he has some ties with Cannibal Corpse.
Yeah. And that was the original drummer.
Right, yeah.
And he's not with the band anymore.
Right.
They've kind of gone through some lineup changes, but now technically Goldfinger is a supergroup because they've got the singer and bassist from MXPX, and then you got the singer and guitarist from Story of the Year playing with them. Travis Barker played drums on one of their albums. He never joined the
Travis
band.
Plays but
he played,
everybody. I don't know how
he plays on everybody. Exactly. Yeah. But he played drums on one of their albums, you know, so it's like a band that is around that is technically now a supergroup, and kind of Nirvana became that too, right? Because you had the core three with Kurt, Chris and Dave. Right. And then everything happened. But right there at the end, Pat Smear came in, who would later go on to be in Foo Fighters, but he was with the Germs originally.
Germs, yes.
And so, so now if Nirvana gets back together, you got Dave Grohl, obviously. You got Pat Chris. Smear up there, right? Yeah. Right. So now you've kind of got a supergroup thing. Pantera is another good example of that. Pantera is technically a supergroup now with Zakk Wylde and what's his name?
Anthrax.
From Anthrax. Yeah. So now Pantera is kind of a supergroup. So there's an interesting, like, weird subcategory within supergroups. We'll get into that one day.
Yeah.
But it's I love to hear about the announcement of a supergroup. Just because it's so cool to watch my favorite bands come together to do music.
Speaking of supergroups, did you all ever watch that one with Ted Nugent, Sebastian Bach, and the guy from Biohazard?
Oh, like, where the they put it? Yeah, it was like a VH1 show.
Really,
or something.
I really want to know the name of that show because I really want to watch it again because I don't. They did make it almost because they got fed up with each other and broke up after the show aired.
Who was it? Ted Nugent and who?
Ted Nugent, Sebastian Bach, and the guy from Biohazard. He is a bassist. I don't know his name, but if you just.
It was called Supergroup.
The TV show was called Supergroup.
It was called Supergroup. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I got to rewatch that because I heard so many.
I'm sure you can find it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
Probably on YouTube at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, it aired in 2006.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
We can find it.
It's been a minute.
It can be found.
There's Mr. Fletcher. Man.
Yeah, but Fletch decided to join us. I'm gonna.
Hey, hello.
He's such a little turd nugget, but he's little mine.
Turd nugget, sweet little precious turd nugget.
Sure. So, if you're curious, Eddie Vedder won against Scott Stapp.
Eddie Vedder won. Okay.
Eddie Vedder.
And apparently the moral of the match was that authenticity crushes overproduced rock theatrics.
Oh, dang, man. Oh.
Wow. The best part might be that I don't know. I love that at one point Eddie traps Scott under a pile of flannel shirts, muttering something about staying true to music. And the final move is Eddie swinging from a stage light,
yeah,
crowd surfing, and then dropping a giant amp on Scott to finish him off.
That's
with
awesome.
A mumble, I guess that's the encore.
Oh, cool. All right.
So there you go.
Awesome. Yeah,
this also came out during the time when everybody like hated Creed so bad.
Yeah.
I was listening to
I've always loved Creed. Creed.
And it starts off with Scott Stapp coming in yelling, "Can you take me?" Yeah, there you go.
Oh, wow. You know,
I always loved Creed, but like the other day I've been on a big reggae kick, and so I've just been like listening to like modern reggae bands or whatever. Have y'all ever heard of the band Pepper?
No.
Reggae have I heard group? Of them? No, I may have heard the music, but you know me.
They're good. They're more of a modern day.
I've heard of the song Pepper by Butthole Surfers.
Yeah, not quite.
You know,
just the band. It was cool, like you know, like late '90s is when they kind of got started, a reggae band, kind of after Sublime, you know, kind of fizzled out or whatever. But they were doing, I was just listening to Spotify the other day, just playing a bunch of random reggae stuff, and they had a song, and they're, I can't remember what the line was, but they like ripped Creed apart just randomly, while listening. And I was like, dude, when did this come out? It was like 1999. I was like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
Everyone thought it was so cool to rip on Creed back then, and it really had no business to. And now Creed is making such a huge comeback.
Yeah.
Everybody loves Creed now. And I'm just like, look, I always stayed true.
You believed in them.
Yeah.
I did believe in Creed. I sat there with my arms wide open as Creed serenaded me for 20-something years.
Because he took you higher.
Because he took me higher. Right. Yes. Exactly right.
I mean, and we talked about eyes, and, you know, blind men can see in those places.
Blind men see. Have y'all seen the videos of people going to the Grand Canyon and then just, like, singing Creed at, like, the top of their lungs?
Oh, no, but no. I now want to watch that.
It's funny. It's really funny. Like people will just be like, "Hold me now," just like at the Grand Canyon with like the wind blowing, their shirts like flapping. So funny.
I love that.
Oh, so good.
One more thing about
those things make me happy.
Yeah.
One more thing about Creed before we move on. I got to send you a video. It's like because you know I think it's a higher video where they were on a Grand Canyon, just like you were saying, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, what if this thing was real? You know, would we hear
instruments
here and there? And it's funny, I got this, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. And it's like,
yeah.
It's like the close-up shots. Yeah, and like, that's
funny. And then when the pinback, you couldn't hear them at all. You know, because
yeah.
the wind. And
like, yeah.
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, there's one. They did one for Linkin Park's in the end.
Yeah.
When he's like walking on the dirt or whatever, it's just like his shoes crunching or whatever. Oh, it's so funny. Sorry. But that's it. That's all I got. Super groups. Yay.
That's it.
Sweet.
Nice.
That's it.
So right. We covered Temple of the Dog,
LS Dunes, Better Lovers.
LS Dunes, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm like trying to think of like pop super groups. Are there any? I'm sure there are.
It does seem like there was some. There was like a super group that was put together, maybe not in the sense of like a full on like tour, right? And like putting out an album or whatever,
right? But it seems like those are like the charity, right?
Right.
Like
that's
the,
what. It, yeah.
The We Are the Worlds and those kinds of things. Yeah.
So I did find some rock supergroups. We got Audioslave.
Yeah.
We got Velvet Revolver.
Mm-hmm. We talked about both of them on our previous episode.
And they said that them Crooked Vultures is a supergroup.
Yeah, them Crooked Vultures. Yeah.
And then Foo Fighters is one bad company.
There's a couple female kind of country groups right out there, like the High Women with Brandi Carlile, Natalie Hemby, Maren Morris, and Amanda Shires.
Yeah.
Which they have some really fantastic songs. And then there's also the Pistol Annies.
Yeah, the Pistol Annies. I forgot about them.
Miranda Lambert, Ashley Monroe, and Angelina Presley.
They had a couple of
They have some great songs that I love. In fact, they are in my like rotation on a regular basis. Both of those super groups of female country Americana type musicians.
Right.
So
Amanda, would you consider the Runaways a super group? Because I had Lita Ford.
No. Nope. I'm going to answer for Amanda, and I'm going to say that the Runaways are not considered a supergroup.
Okay.
Why? I'm curious.
They started with them, right? Is that what
because they started as a band, and then the band members went off to become very successful solo artists.
Okay.
Like
Joan Jett, that's not
Lita
a
Ford. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll see. That's what I mean. It's like you can't start with a supergroup. You have to.
Well, it's like like Fleetwood Mac, like it's not a super group. It just happens to be that they're lead singer.
Like for instance, Chicken
forced her ex to be
Chicken
on the stage with her.
Chickenfoot is a great super group because they have Sammy Hagar, Michael from Van Halen, Jason Bonham, and Joe Satriani. That's a super group.
And even the Misfits became a super group for a while there for a very short period of time because Jerry Only was the original member, and he had Dez from Black Flag. Robo also played in Black Flag, but Marky Ramone played for the Misfits for a little bit there.
That's right.
He was under Ramones.
What's his name from Anthrax that you just talked about? He played for the Misfits for a little bit there.
Dave Lombardo from Slayer played for
him. Oh, that's who I'm thinking of. Not him. Yeah, it was the Slayer's drummer that played with him for
Slayer.
A little bit.
That is wild.
Yeah, right. Slayer. It's crazy. Slayer! But we'll do that. We'll talk about like groups that became super groups over time. Right.
Yeah. because the members changed enough to become
Right.
Yeah. 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 Cool beans. All right. Super groups.
All right. Yes.
Yes.
Yay.
Two down.
Awesome.
Right. A lot more to go,
Yeah, there's a lot.
I think next time we need to do some female super group.
Supergroups.
We could even do the ones I just mentioned because they actually have some really amazing like solo career. I mean, the number of Grammys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Grammy nominations in those two groups that I mentioned.
That's right.
Like how they and they're kind of And they're very different and also very similar too in their music, because Pistol Annie is just a little bit.
Pistol Annie, okay, I gotta look that up.
I mean, they like one of the songs is "I Got My Name Changed Back," and so it's about, you know, getting divorced, and it starts with "It takes a judge to get married, it takes a judge to get divorced, but the last couple of years spent a lot of time in court, got my name changed back." And then they have one that's called "Taking Pills," I think. But then the High Women, you know, you've got like "Crowded Table," you know, like "I want a house with a crowded table for everyone," you know, that they want everyone to sit at. So you all see, I know lyrics to songs that I listen to and like stuff about the songs, the music I listen to. Maybe that's it. I just don't listen to enough variety.
That's all right. You spend enough time around us. Good. We'll get you. Yeah.
You have. And Michael too.
Yeah.
Nice.
He is like definitely like a, you know, 90s rock, metal kind of guy. So cool. We listen to a lot of that. And then if I am driving, which is virtually never because I am a passenger princess, I like to just, sent me a I think it was an Instagram reel. And it's just like the man, you know, like looking around, like for all the threats, like whatever, you know, there's a car over there and there's there. And then the woman is just making my way downtown. Fast, and I'm home. And that is 100% me. Like, I feel so safe and comfortable with that man that I don't have to think. I just get to be. So, but yes. he's not a huge fan of my music. However, he's going to hate me for saying this. He loves Olivia Newton-John and
I'm talking about.
And Grease is his favorite. Like, that man knows every single word to the movie, not just the songs.
Heck yeah.
The movie. But we also love to listen to Cool Rider.
Yeah.
Because it's like, we always joke, because like when it goes to the C O O L R I D E R, and then it's like, okay, 20 more seconds. Like, we need 20 more seconds. Like, let's. So it's like, again, C O O L R I D E R. Yeah. Anyway, so those are our fun, you know, weird music moments. I love together.
That. I love that. Yeah. So, those are special. Those are special.
Maybe we should also do an episode of like our own like music traditions in our like personal lives. Like, because I have songs I sing with my kids.
Yeah.
My sister and I have a dance that we do in the car together with songs and, you know, you all surely have those as well.
I've got a ton.
I can think of one.
Yeah. I got a ton. I got a ton.
It'd be fun.
Yeah. Songs that like mean a lot to me and Allie, like in particular, or you know, me and whoever. I love that. I love that idea. We'll do that.
And they're often car songs.
Yeah. Mm. Oh yeah.
Because like you're riding with someone and it's like a
Dude, we get in the car and we immediately start playing. If we're in the car together riding anywhere, we start playing the Wicked soundtrack and try to see how many of the songs we can get through before we reach our destination.
So do you start over at the first one or do you put it on?
It's for the trip.
Shuffle,
like a playlist.
No, we start the first one. So we do "No One Warns the Wicked." And we try to, and that song is like 8 minutes long. So like usually by the time we get to the end of it, we've reached wherever we're getting. But
it's 8 minutes.
Fun. Yeah.
8 minute ride, huh?
Yeah.
It's funny. My daughter loves Hamilton. She and I went and saw it. She plays it a lot when she's driving her brother around. And now he sings Hamilton randomly.
Nice.
And it's kind of amazing.
I love that. Hamilton's so good, man.
It is. So yes. Good. All right. Well,
okay.
I have kind of the, you know, last time we all recorded together, I talked about, I was going to go over some like mental health, like kind of core pieces. It's interesting that the first one on that list is connection,
which
is kind of what this is all about. Like that we are inherently social creatures. And we need those like positive connections for good mental health. It's emotional support. It can reduce that feeling of loneliness and keeps us engaged with others. It alleviates stress because there's something about, right, like when you share stress or whatever, something with someone, it's a little lighter. So foster those relationships out there. Spend time with the people that you love and care about. Don't isolate, even though it can feel like you want to sometimes. Like, reach out to people. And also on the other end, if you haven't heard from one of your friends in a while, check in. Even if you don't get a response, just then they'll know that you love them. Yeah. And two, like if you don't have lots of connections out there, find a club or a group or an activity that you are interested in. Maybe that's pickleball or, you know, going to an art museum or something, and find some people to join your network. I think that we are more connected online now than ever before, but our personal interactions have significantly decreased, especially as people are working from home and, you know, we don't have to leave our house to even go to the grocery store or pick up food or, you know, like there's all those things. So yeah, like create your awesome network of friends to help, you know, carry the load with each other. It makes it a little lighter and you can laugh really hard about, you know, being hysterically crying and your best friend saying, go punch someone. And then you laugh because you're already missing a tooth and it's like the greatest ever. So there you go.
Man,
that's it.
I love it. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah.
Welcome.
Take that and apply it to your life, to your week, this week. And you guys can reach out to us and let us know too how it worked for you. Yeah. I love to hear that too. Let us know. That way we can get that feedback.
And look, and then you're connecting with us too. More connections.
Hey. Connect to us.
Yes.
And in fact, that's a good transition into our connections here as we wrap up this episode. So thank you guys for listening to the show today. And if you enjoyed it, please be sure to subscribe and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, preferably, or wherever you can.
Oh, it's my turn.
Okay. That's you.
That's me. Hey. Okay, so if you'd like to follow us on our show or social media, we're on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. Just search for Windward Sail Music Speaks Podcast.
And if you would like to be interviewed on the show, please reach out to us. You can message us on any of those social media sites, or you can email us at james@windwardsfailmusicspeaks.com, blake@windwardsfailmusicspeaks.com, or Amanda Dolan at windwardsfailmusicspeaks.com. That is AmandaDolin for Dolan. There you go. I feel like I still have to spell it out, even though I've spelled it out a million times.
Dum-dums, that's a tradition like me. Now.
Dolin. It's weird. I know.
It flows.
D-O-L-I-N. Hey, I have an extra E in my name, and it throws people for a loop. So that's why my last name is not in my email address.
It does have an extra, like.
Yeah.
It's an extra E.
Lee.
Lee. Yep. It's spelled differently than it normally is.
Look at that. That is weird. Yeah. I just realized, like, I thank you for pointing that out. Now I'm going to think about that for.
Yeah, sorry.
We're
all going to think about it. Everyone's going to think about it. And we'll continue to misspell my last name for forever. That's cool. It's fine.
Hey, I mean, you know.
And if you're watching this on YouTube, everybody, please subscribe to our YouTube channel where you can watch interviews, music, video reactions, vinyl showcases, and much more. Just type in youtube.com/windwardsfailmusicspeaks and be sure to hit that bell notification so you can be notified when all videos are uploaded. And if you're currently watching this, hit that splash button or belly flop that button.
Splash button.
It's a belly flop that like.
Is it belly flop that like button?
Belly flop that like button.
Splash button. Hit the splash button.
I love it.
We're naming it the splash button. So, there you go.
TM.
Trademark it.
For all these links to find out more about us or to buy some of our merchandise, you can visit our website. It's whenwordsfailmusicspeaks.com.
And then we are starting, when I say we, I really mean James, is starting a When Words Fail Music Speaks radio station. You can submit your songs and all the info that's needed to submit your songs at whenwordsfailmusicspeaks.com. He has taken all the different kinds of music, and that radio station is going to be starting here in the next 2-3 months. So send that in. There's some number thing that
ISRC number that, that
yes there you
that
go
allows all the wizards and wizards
to make it happen, pull it in and all that jazz. So do that, because that would be awesome to have all of those different genres of music in one place. Maybe get some of these smaller artists that we've interviewed and that we love out there into the world where you all can hear them. So yeah, send your music in and we will, we, AKA James, will get that going.
Heck yeah. If you don't mind checking out my other podcast, it's called South Carolina Spook Show. It's all about true crime and paranormal stories from the state of South Carolina, also on YouTube. Not religious, so do that with my brother-in-law, Brian. It's been a few months since we've been able to get together since we decided to bring it back just because we're so busy. But there is a ton of like back catalog episodes that you can listen to from years and years ago. They're all really funny. I think we're hilarious.
You are hilarious.
I think we're funny. Hopefully everyone else thinks we're funny. Maybe just a little offensive, but like it's enough to be funny, right? I mean, we're not as bad as South Park. I'll say that.
Oh God, no.
Or Celebrity Deathmatch.
Or Celebrity Deathmatch. That's
that
true.
Should totally
That's
come true. Back.
Yeah, I think they're planning on it. I think it's in the works, honestly. Good. Yeah.
Nice. And thanks again to our sponsors for this episode, BetterHelp.com and Bones Coffee. You can go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy and to get matched with the therapist that is perfect for you. And also remember, after that or even before that, go to bonescoffee.com and type in musicspeaks, all one word, to also get 10% off your order at bonescoffee.com.
And
then I want to give a quick shout out to Stanley, who is our amazing graphic designer. He is just wonderful and has done some really amazing work. And then also to Nancy Rose, who is one of the newest members of our team. She is promoting, collaborating, and. So thank you so much, Nancy Rose.
Yeah, I don't know why there's an and after that. My bad. And
well, no, but she does like
things.
and. Like, I don't know. She does.
The list goes on.
She does like, and exactly. A whole lot of things. So, yeah.
Please. I just kept going. I was like, and, all the things.
And she is super cool.
Right. Yes. So is Stanley. We can't forget him.
Stanley's cool, too.
Stanley's the man, you know? So.
Stan the man.
All right, everybody. So are we all, like, done?
I think we're done.
We're good to go?
We're good. All
right. Okay, cool. So. And with that said, everybody, thanks again for listening. And always remember,
when words fail,
music speaks.
Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Goodbye.
I don't know.
Go now. Get. Go. Gone.